Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hey, Wonder Snouts, this is a lovely one. For the first time in ages, I'm hoovering at home. I've got to entertain and cook for someone. I'm with the really brilliant comedian, and I'm going to say activist because she does some amazing things for trans equality in her spare time. Lucky me, it's Jen Ives. The sad news is, thanks to a few, I think, what have turned out to be dares as opposed to exciting suggestions from my patrons, I ended up treating Jen to the weirdest fucking lunch in the history of time. Before we get into it though, can you come and see my new show, Wench, please? Thank you. I'm taking it to the Edinburgh Festival, to Monkey Barrel at 4:45 every day in August, apart from the 15th. And then I'm taking it on tour all around the UK. I've got some dates in Ireland being announced soon. And now on sale is Dorchester. Dorchester Arts, the art centre there is called. I'm there mid-October on a Wednesday, and tickets are available on my website along with all the others, or on the Little Wonder website, who are my tour managers, and that's my like home county. So please come and see me in Dorchester if you are someone who listens to this who I went to school with. Thank you. Tickets to live stuff and tickets to everything interesting that we mention, and links to everything interesting that we mention will, as ever, be in the podcast notes that come along with this podcast, wherever you got it from. And also, if you ever want tickets to live stuff, you can always just look on my website, jessicafostercue.com, and click the button that says My Doings. Thanks for listening to Hoovering. If you tell other people about it, I'd love that. Shout it. The Hoovering podcast is good. You can shout, subscribe to it, give it 5-star reviews. Yum, 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 yum. If you've got any spare money, you could become my patron. Hey, thanks if you're already my patron, unless you're the ones who suggested the foods we eat in this episode. go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you'll see all the sorts of things I will swap you in exchange for your money, including really amazing, actually terrible, but that's why they're funny, cooking videos from me for all my patrons, loads of exclusive content, and there's some really exciting news for my patrons only coming up in the next episode at the very latest, if not before then, on the socials or on Patreon. Zero warnings for this episode, other than for once, maybe don't expect to get made peckish or jealous about what we're eating, but we will at least hopefully make you laugh, if nothing else, at our misfortune.
Wow, thanks for coming to my house on this
thanks for having me
summer
at your house.
Day.
Yeah,
and
it's lovely.
For enduring a plate of real bay, it's yellow and brown lunch.
Yeah, good colours.
Yeah, delicious colours. So what happened, Jan, is that I have a thing where some patrons of the podcast, like every now and again, part of their rewards that they get for being my patrons, I say, is there anything you want me to eat on the podcast?
Yeah.
And actually, very rarely people do come up with stuff. But over the years, they've come up with things. There's been no sort of one sensible time to like trickle them into my normal hoovering. So what I've done is got you round to try all of the things.
Really?
Two of the things that have been kind of given to me as a dare to eat. One of them was vegan prawns.
Right.
Which I, now that I'm saying it, think could be a prank.
They don't look how I imagined them to look.
No. They took me a long time to find and I had to buy them on the internet. And I think they came from far away.
They look like chicken dippers that have been like freeze dried.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, they look like a cross between a whitebait.
Yeah.
And, oh, God. Yeah, a nugget, a kind of whitebait-shaped nugget.
Yeah.
I've got no idea what's going to be inside. They're made by Fry's, the Fry Family Food Company. And it says, I think they've really covered their bases here, meat-free battered prawn-style pieces.
Well, I'm just glad they're a family company. That's what I care about.
That's all I care about. Yeah, lovely. And then there's the salad.
Oh, nice. Just, that's not a dare.
That's not a dare. I did that.
I need
that
to be dared to
take the edge off. Yeah, I don't know.
You're so good, like with your patrons, like that you listen to them and stuff. Like I have a patron, I just get what they're given.
Yeah, well, there is an element of that, and I don't listen to all of them.
Good.
And they also dared me to eat this Norwegian cheese called, I think it's called Brunost.
Okay.
And it literally means brown cheese. And I opened it and had a reaction. So open it and see if you have a reaction.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it is brown, isn't it?
It's brown. It's pure brown.
It doesn't smell of anything.
No.
It might be my hay fever, but...
No.
It doesn't... What? It's like Caramac or something.
I just think, worst case scenario, we've had a salad and some chips.
Yeah. So why have they recommended this cheese to you?
They've not made it clear whether or not I'm meant to have the best time or the worst time. So we don't have to pretend to like it if we hate it.
It's
we
a combination
can just be really
of
honest.
Goat and milk. Goat's milk and cow's cream.
Okay.
But that's as weird as it seems. It's not like they recommended that fish to you. You know, you get that like Norwegian fish.
Oh, that's meant to hump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm going to sauce up. I'm gonna make a ketchup and mayonnaise combo.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm excited about this, because even before I was a vegetarian, I didn't really go near prawns and stuff like that. I've obviously tried them.
Yeah.
And they weren't really like my favourite thing, because I always think like, they're kind of like insects.
Oh, really? Like, yeah, of the sea?
Yeah, they remind me of insects, so... But I remember what they taste like, and they taste fine. It's more just like a mental barrier for me. So this is nice. It's nice to kind of have them.
An entirely synthetic version of prawn. I love prawns, so I will be like seeing if there's anything about them other than that they're shaped in a vaguely... They've done one end slightly pointier than the other, like a vegan might think of a fish.
It's a shame they haven't done like got a Sharpie and put a little face on
them. Yeah, you know, at least like... given a couple of eyes drawn on a fin. Yeah, that's so true.
An artificial spine through the middle.
Like a child's drawing of a fish.
Well, that's the thing about a lot of vegetarian food, isn't it? It's like how far do you take it when you're replicating something?
Did you see that?
Oh no, you got a bad squirt.
Yeah, I didn't shake this mayonnaise and I've basically just jizzed into my ketchup. Oi! Oh no, bad squirt.
Thank you. But yeah, like how far do you take it? Because, you know, it's like you can get like really realistic vegetarian sausages now, for example, but like until they put the gristle in, it's not really going to have the same
effect. It's so true, isn't it? It's like, do you start emulating? Yeah, some people's like worst thing about me is other people's favourite. that they make the fake burgers with beetroot look bloody, don't they?
Yeah, I like that though. That's
I like
fun.
That.
Yeah, that's fun, I think. It's like, there's no reason why you can't simulate it. Like, I'd be happy if they, like, got whatever that material is that they make the burgers out of, like, soy, and they, like, made, like, a cow out of them and then did, like, a mock...
I'd like that.
A mock sort of execution on it. That would be really fun, I think.
Just so you can have the full carnivore experience.
Exactly.
I'm gonna keep calling it a prawn. I'm gonna try one naked first.
Okay.
Just see if anything prawn like happens to me.
What does that mean, like an allergy?
Yeah. Okay, I mean it's not a
prawn, is it?
No. It's like every vegetarian / vegan chicken nugget you've ever had in a vaguely fish
right
shape.
Okay. Well, yeah, fish is a hard thing. Like, it's something that they don't really attempt that much.
No.
You can get, like, vegetarian fish fingers, and they're fine.
They're okay.
But then they're still not... You can't... Apparently, you can get, like, tuna and stuff, but you can only really get...
That scares me. It looks so weird, the fake tuna.
But you can only really get it in, like, posh shops, like Whole Foods and stuff like that. You have to pay, like, quite a lot for it, so I've never actually tried it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try one, though.
See what happens. I mean... I'm into the sauce I've made.
You're right. There's not much fishy about that, is there?
No, that's fine, though. I mean, I don't know. I like fish, and I don't think the reason I like it is the smell. So I'm glad they haven't added that.
It's salty.
Yeah, it's really salty, which actually I'm really into.
I love salt, but I wasn't expecting it to be quite as salty as it is.
No.
Are prawns notoriously salty?
No.
Oh, okay. That was like a thing they were going for.
No, I think, well, maybe they've gone taste of the sea. What's in the sea?
Oh,
salt.
Yeah,
salt and a lot of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So at least it doesn't taste of microplastics. My friend gave me this, which I'd never tried before, which is like a pumpkin seed oil, which I think is really nice on salad.
I'll try that.
It's
a good opportunity for me to try some things I've never tried before. Let's put this on. Oh my god, it's very dark, isn't it?
Yeah, inky business.
Yeah.
I can't believe you grew up around here. That's so funny.
Yeah, well, I actually grew up in southeast London, in Lewisham, but near Hither Green. I don't know if you know Hither Green.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I was saying to you, like that pub that's like shut down now.
Yeah.
But I spent a lot of times like waiting in the car for my dad to...
You said he bought you a small bottle of Coca-Cola once an hour.
A can. Pass it through the window.
Did you have anything to entertain yourself?
The radio.
Remember the radio? No, I remember the radio.
And a bag.
Remember the radio.
And a bag of disco crisps.
I was going to ask, what snack was there? When I was lucky that one of the places my dad mainly drank was a pub that had a family room, so I did have a room rather than the car to sit in. But I would be given Panda Pops drinks that were like bright blue or pink, like bubblegum flavour drinks.
I remember them. They taste like melted ice balls, don't they?
Yes. And then like Space Raiders was the snack of my childhood pub waiting.
I was talking about Space Raiders yesterday. Like just about how they're really cool. Like I really like snacks that are like named after like cryptids and like ghouls and ghosts and stuff. My Irish friend was showing me this bag of crisps called Banshee Bones.
Okay.
Never had them.
No.
They're like an Irish thing specifically, but they've got like a witch on the front cover. Really cool.
Let's talk about eating growing up. What was eating like growing up?
Eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think I used to get criticised a lot for having quite a bland palate, I think. Like,
really?
I'm one of those people that, like, I will try anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, like, scared to try stuff. But I know what I like, do you know what I mean? And it seems that what I like is just, like, pizza over and over and over again. I'm really worried. Like I've lived I've lived independently as an adult for quite some time now. And I don't know how I've managed to kind of like resist the urge to have pizza every night, but like I do do it. Like, I do buy like a broccoli sometimes and stuff like that.
You can put a broccoli on a pizza if you want.
You can.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, but you can.
I would, I think. I'd try that.
Mm.
I think pizzas get a bad fucking rap. They're like everything in one.
What, a pizza? Yeah, they're amazing. They're perfect food.
They are.
Like, a part of me doesn't believe, when people say, oh, you know, it's not good for you, it's not healthy, like, I can't quite figure it out, because I'm like, well, it depends on how you do it. You know, it's like, it's bread, it's tomato, that's healthy.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Protein. Exactly. Need that bit.
There's always an excuse, isn't there? But when I was growing up, it was like, you know, my mum would like cook a lot, and she would like always serve things that like I never asked for or didn't want. And I feel like... It was always like a pie. Like, I don't really like pie. And it would be like, I'd say, can you stop giving me this pie? Because I don't like it. And then every week I'd have the pie again. And it would be like... So I think that's kind of like what gave me a bit of a complex to like just only eat what I like now.
Well, but, I mean, I don't think that's a complex. I think that's just being a grown up.
I try though. I really try. I try to be healthy, but I can't. I've got like five things that I eat, you know.
Oh, really? I love it. But I also don't, I mean, I think healthy is a very broad and complicated term. And actually, like, to my mind, it's so rare to meet anyone who goes, I eat what I want when I want.
Yeah.
It is like, that's joyful. That's, to me, like, the epitome of health. But if you mean like in terms of like getting enough fruit and vegetables and like nutrition and balance and all of that, yeah, that is tricky. But also, I can't get over how much I love hearing someone say, I just have what I want and I know what I like.
Well, I do, but I don't feel good about it.
Right.
Like, I feel guilty about it.
Oh, I don't want that.
Yeah. Like, I think about it.
Yeah.
It depends how I'm feeling, I guess. But
I guess there's an element of going, I don't want you to miss out. But if you'll try anything... If you're trying new things all the time,
I'll try anything within the strict parameters of being a vegetarian.
Yes,
I think I mainly became a vegetarian to like limit my options. But now they keep bringing things out, like these prawn things. Can't run
fries,
from it anymore.
Battered salt cubes.
I'm really impressed that you got them, like, from the internet. Where did you get them online?
I can't remember, but I think it might have been
dark web.
Like pretty much, yeah. Like an online Asian caterers.
Really?
That, like, Asian supermarkets have had like a really strong game in fake meats for a lot longer than is now like super mainstream. And I bought them. I've actually had them because they're frozen for so long. And then I noticed that near where I live, there's a Asian supermarket now called Longdan. It's like a chain. But before it opened, it had a sign outside that said plant-based Asian cuisine and plant-based living. And I was like, oh, amazing. And then I saw a fridge, like, through the window that said prawns. And it had like a whole cabinet of prawns. And I was like, they're going to have vegan prawns. But it turns out they were using the term plant-based living, I was going to say loosely, but I think deeply inaccurately, because it turns out they are selling just prawns. It's prawns. It's old. It's the OG main actual prawn.
How do you get around that? Is it like they have plants adjacent
maybe.
To them?
Yeah, yeah.
Or they feed
the tofu in the fridge near to the prawns. Yeah, they fed them plants.
I don't really understand. I still don't really understand what plant-based 100% means. You know, like, I could get my head around corn, but I get it. It's like a mushroom.
Yep.
That they grow in a tank, and they're not legally allowed to call it a mushroom.
Yeah.
Because
it's synthetic.
Yeah, like, it's synthetic in the sense that they grow it in a silo, I think, or something, like a tank.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. No, but it is. It's just fungi, mushroom.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, pea protein, all this kind of stuff. But I don't really understand what plant food, it, like, is. I don't understand. Yeah. I just eat it and I just take their word for it and hope that it's not going to massively shorten my lifespan. But
that was a cat jumping on right onto a breadboard then.
Yeah, I'm glad you addressed that because I didn't think it was me.
Yeah, it wasn't my reaction to you saying, you just trust them and eat it.
Yeah.
And going, no, it was a cat. Jumping up the table.
He's but everyone's vegetarian now, aren't they? Like, everyone's trying it. Everyone's...
Nearly,
Do you
I've
do it?
I've fallen off the wagon.
Oh, have you?
When I first started this podcast, like, 4 years ago, I was I was almost vegan.
Mm.
And I really let that shit slide. But for me, it was an unravelling of, a necessary unravelling of rules. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas you're like, when you said you can choose, like, if you, you know, choosing boundaries around what you do and don't want to eat, what as a reason, choosing vegetarianism as a reason to have, you know, some socially acceptable rules that people aren't going to nudge you about all the time.
Mm.
Whereas I had to, I think, I mean, to get deep real quick, to as part of, like, recovering a good relationship with eating, had to undo some of those rules. I had too many rules around things. And I think, ultimately, I was using a desire to eat in a more environmentally kind way to actually, like, I was having an adverse reaction to the rules it meant to the, and I was actually, like, because there were so many things I couldn't have, I was binging on the things I could have.
In I a way that. That's making me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's really normal, and it's why lots of, like, restrictive dieting and stuff doesn't work, because your body will rebel against any really strict set of rules, and it's within boundaries, because also obviously there's such strong philosophical arguments for vegetarianism or environmental.
Yeah, and you feel that, great. You know, yeah. I'm doing something.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And there's so little we can do as individuals. But exactly. If you talk... Yeah, and if you... Oh, God. It's so... The environmental reasons are so overwhelming to at least eat less meat. But so now, basically... But also my partner who I live with is very strict vegetarian, doesn't eat fish either. And so there's never anything at home, and I'm very happy living at home. My six-year-old has just told me he wants to be pescatarian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is cool. Although we're a week in, and he's last night confessed to some pepperoni on a pizza at his
Do you know what, though? It's the effort, isn't it? Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like,
well, this is it.
It's like, if you imagine if you go like a year of your life without eating any meat products, and then you fall off the wagon, that's better than like... never trying to.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Chocolate's the one I'm struggling with at the moment. Like, I'm in that phase where, like, I'm vegetarian, but I try to eat vegan things. I would like to do it. And I even just eating ethically, like you said, it's, like, it's hard. Like, I said to myself, okay, well, I'm only going to have chocolate when it's a Tony's bar, because they, like, advertise that they're, like, really ethical.
They've really used that, haven't they, as their, like, thing about them.
But the other day I was in the news agents and I was looking at them and I was like, they're £3.50.
It's a fucking joke.
Yeah, I was like...
The price you pay for purportedly giving two shits about the planet.
And I was like, I do enough. Do you know what I mean? I'm getting a Twix.
Yeah.
But I think there's some truth in that. I think that's one of the reasons... I mean, I am a vegetarian because of, like, the boring reasons. But I also think I'm a vegetarian because I do like to kind of, like, limit my choices a little bit.
Right.
And if I had somebody who, like, cooked for me every day, like a... I don't know what you'd call that, like a
chef. Yeah.
And they just got to decide what I had.
Yeah.
I think I'd be fine with that. Like, I think it's literally the deciding what to have that gives me a bit of anxiety. Like, I almost, like, think about it, like, from the moment I wake up. You know, I'm like,
really?
Yeah, kind of. Like, trying to plan out my days to the point that, like, so I don't have breakfast. Right. Like, I
Not
cut that out.
Thing.
I'm not, but also I do get hungry about 10 o'clock, but I also just was like, well, it's just one leg.
Did you hear if you're listening?
Like, run into the door.
I just really subtly and quietly put the cat out to be a bit of a cunt. And that was him just like thugging up against the door.
Just like,
what a thug life.
Yeah, it was great though.
He walks in and out of rooms like that as well, the lounge. If the other cat will just slink in like a cat.
Yeah.
And it would be like a human's walked in because the door will go smash against the fucking wall. He's such a funny thug.
That's great, though.
Yeah, sorry.
Little poltergeist cup.
Oh, God, yes. I love all of that. It's all so interesting, isn't it?
Delicious.
I'm going to try this brown cheese.
Yes, I want to try it too.
I want it to taste better than it looks. And I hope someone just hasn't, whichever patron it was, told us to eat the brown cheese. Wasn't just doing some kind of trick on me.
I don't like the look of the texture of it. It looks like an art, like it looks like a lump of clay, you know?
Yeah, it does. It looks like something you'd use to build. It looks like burnt.
Oh, there's a weird colour on the other side of it. What's that?
Oh no, that's not good, is it? I mean, that looks like mould, doesn't it?
We can eat around it.
We can eat around it. I'm going to take a picture of it.
Where did you get it from?
The internet. Oh. But this was called, like, My Swedish Supermarket or My Scandi Supermarket. And they were lovely and sent, like, a nice note with it and stuff.
That That's the problem with cheese. Like, you never know if it's off or not, do you?
No.
We just that might be know. Intentional, that mould.
It might be intentional mould. Oh, I'm not going to risk it. I mean, I'm just going to cut that off.
Yeah.
And put that over there. It doesn't look like food.
It really does. It really doesn't look like food at
it's
all.
It's hard to get excited about eating something that looks this much like it's not food. But as I said,
it does curiosity look bland.
Killed the cat. Hopefully, it'll at worst just.
Oh my god!
Nice.
It's like falls
it's
apart.
So brown. It's such a gluey.
Oh my god! Like, it looks like vegan cheese.
Yeah, it does. Like crap.
Yeah.
I don't think we haven't really nailed vegan cheese yet, or vegan chocolate, apart from dark chocolate, which is
like, yeah, no, not even slightly. Like,
we're not there yet. It's not. We as substitute lovers, there's nothing there for us yet. I think that might be enough to cut off. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's enough to try it.
Yeah,
and then if we love it, we can.
We can have a bit more. Okay. I know.
Okay, it's like Play-Doh. Is exactly what it feels like.
It smells of Actually, it smells of like it smells of the slices you'd get to put on a burger a bit.
Yeah, that's making me feel better about it because I eat a lot of those.
I love those. Oh, it's almost sweet. I hate.
Yeah,
it.
I don't like it at all. oh my god, it's horrible.
Oh fuck! Oh Jen, I'm so sorry.
I think there's your patrons hate you.
There's a sweetener. Are you getting like a sugary? What the fuck is that?
It's almost like I'm not tasting it, but I'm getting like the sensation.
It's like someone's like, it's like feet and caramel.
Caramel, yeah.
Aye.
Oh my god, that's disgusting, isn't it?
Oh, fuck off. It gets worse the longer after you ate it.
It's one of those things like it feels like you're not supposed to be eating it. Like,
I think
the
maybe
reaction
we
that my mouth is having is kind of like,
fuck
don't
off.
Eat that.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to move it away. I'm going to move it off this table. Oh, shit.
Well, that's the thing about cheese, though, isn't it? It's like such a diverse, like, variety of different things. Like, what's your favourite cheese?
Oh, so I'm into, like, I don't like the really, it's not like, I know people are really into the ones that like really stink. It's not that. I don't like those ones that are like almost liquid.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hate them either. Like everything in its context. If something's like, if I'm on a camping holiday in France, like, and someone's bought some cheese, I'll try it. But my favourite cheese that you can get in most places is a blue one called, I'm going to forget. Bleu de Verne.
Bleu de Verne.
Yeah.
That's interesting because I've learned something now. I didn't realise that there were different kinds of blue cheese.
Yeah.
I just thought there was a cheese called blue cheese.
Yeah.
So that's nice to know.
Yeah, there's a bunch of blue cheese. There's like one we make here in the UK called Stilton, and it's like a hard one that's like quite really strong. And then it moves right through to like Bleu de Verne. It's like a French one that's much softer and milder.
Okay.
And then Italians make some really mild blue cheese that's like only got the vaguest blue cheese taste.
That might be the one that I like because the only way that I'll try weird cheeses is if they're presented to me on a pizza and I
perfect.
There's the Dr. Oetker quattro formaggi pizza and
love
I think it.
It
says it has blue cheese on it.
Oh.
And I like it, so it must be that one.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
that sounds all right. Do you think being a comedian changes how you eat?
Not really. Mm. I mean, because when I first started, you know, I would get anxious before going on.
Yeah.
I would never eat beforehand. So I suppose it changed it in that way. So I'd never feel comfortable eating like a few hours before.
Yeah.
But I've been doing it a while now and I don't feel that at all anymore. So I'm more comfortable to just eat at normal times now when I normally would.
Yeah.
Rather than having to wait till I get home, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But no, like I eat pretty much as badly as I did as beforehand. Like if anything, it might have slightly improved it because occasionally a gig will like feed you.
Yeah.
So
I love that. I think comedians are more grateful for like food
oh my
at
God.
Work than any other profession.
I did a gig in a posh hotel recently, like a corporate
nice.
Thing. Well,
That wasn't nice. If it was corporate, it probably wasn't a nice gig, but yeah.
No, I've got, But one thing they did do that was really nice is that they fed us and they had like a kind of a small buffet style cart.
Nice.
It was chips.
Yes.
Which I was like, okay, great. Pasta with mushrooms in it.
Okay.
And then things that weren't vegetarian. So I just got like a big plate of chips with pasta on top.
Nice. Yes. That's the way to do it.
Well, it works really well. Like carbs on carbs are like,
yeah,
like it's great. Like it's taboo for a reason, you know, it's like, it's so really delicious. Nice. Like, have you ever had like pasta on a pizza?
No.
Like there was some commotion about it.
It's just gone on the list.
Yeah, there was some commotion about it like last year. Like apparently some company brought one out already, like prepared. But I was one of those hipsters where I was like, I've been doing this since I was a teenager. Do you know what I mean? Like what you do is you get like macaroni is the best. You make, you get macaroni, cook it, you put cheese on it.
Yeah.
Not like macaroni cheese, just like macaroni
just
with
like
cheese.
Cheddar and
yeah, you stir it around and then you get a margarita pizza and then you just sprinkle it all over the top.
Wow.
And honestly, like it will make you reimagine how you view toppings because you'll just be like, this is the only one that you need.
Amazing.
Every other topping just feels like a ridiculous attempt at this.
What you're trying to do there. Mm-hmm. And does it need to be quite a sturdy based pizza to hold the weight of the macaroni and not like begin to sort of like flop in?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Like a thick crust pizza.
But I'm not opposed to like, if you need to use a knife and fork, like use a knife and fork. Yeah. It's all about the...
In that instance, I think it's totally reasonable to use a knife and fork for a pizza, isn't it?
God, I was hoping that I could come across as somewhat sophisticated on this thing. But it's just, I don't know what it is.
I'm not really
but...
interested in sophisticated on this podcast.
I'm trying to think.
I'd much rather find out. I'd much rather, like, get to people's truth.
I try sometimes, like I will try it, like, I will try and make, like, a stir fry.
Yeah.
Or, like, I will do, like, I will put vegetables in a thing.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of it. Oh, I can make a risotto.
I love risotto.
I can do that. I enjoy doing that. Like,
the
I like the process
just to
of
keep
it.
Stirring for a lifetime, right?
I like it because it's easy, but it's, like, it takes a while.
Yes.
So you feel like you're doing something.
I feel like you can taste the effort that you put into things sometimes.
I think you can.
Yeah.
I think you can.
And with that, like, I learned recently, which you might well already know, but, like, the standing next to it and stirring it, like, and adding your stock or whatever slowly is what makes it go all shiny.
Oh, really?
That's nice, isn't it?
That is nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I can make red pepper soup.
Mmm.
That's a good one.
I'm terrible at that and always make them too thin.
Mm.
I've stopped eating this because it's too much salt. And I do have breakfast. I like you, but I wait until I really want it. And I had it quite late and I'm not really... This is too... I'm going to say it. These pretend prawns are too salty for me.
And that cheese has put you off.
And that cheese has broken my heart. Fuck's sake.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about... work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Bearing in mind, it sounds like I have not listened about the old list of five things you like and within the boundaries of liking, but have you ever had an instance of something that you didn't like but that at some point during adulthood, your mouth just changed and now you like it.
Yeah. Yeah, onions.
Really?
Yeah, when I was younger, I just really didn't like onions in any context.
Really? Even like slow cooked, barely know they're there?
I mean, I could like tolerate them. There was just something about them. Again, I think it's textural and like, I just didn't understand them. I just viewed them as something that ruined anything that they went into. But then like, as I've gotten older, like I actually now legitimately love them.
Yes.
And I'll choose to have them.
Yeah.
And when I smell them, I'm like, oh, onions, I get it now. It's like coffee, you know, I think like you grow into it.
Yeah,
do
you like there coffee? Are some things, I absolutely love coffee, but I had an Austrian grandparent, and in Austrian culture, and I know it's the same in Portugal, I don't know about other bits in Europe, but I just assume so, it's like way less taboo to give kids coffee.
Oh, really?
So from when I was really young, like my son's age, like five-ish, I was allowed a really milky coffee.
Oh, okay.
And I loved it. And it was just like, I look back now, I think it was like, you know, whatever, Nescafe Gold or whatever. It wasn't like we all drink now, like, you know, really strong coffee. Well, it's before there was Starbucks everywhere and everyone's drinking much stronger coffee.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'd give my kid that. I think that's the last thing my fucking kid needs. Because you can really tell when he's had caffeine, like from chocolate, or if he's had a sip of a Diet Coke or whatever, you can tell if he's had a bit of caffeine.
For me, it was Smarties when I was a kid.
Was it?
Yeah.
That made you like wired?
Yeah, like I had to not be allowed to have them but apparently what it was like, I don't know if this is bullshit, but apparently it was like the blue one specifically.
Yeah.
Something about the blue Smartie, there was some kind of chemical in it that used to drive kids mad.
I think there might be a blue making chemical that, and sure enough, like, you know, this is what, like, I think you're much younger than me, but like it's some time ago.
Right.
I think they've probably, the EU, etc., had to get rid of that at least for a while. Like,
I don't think I'm that much younger than you.
I'm 38.
I'm 32.
Are you?
I am, yeah.
You look so young.
Thank you. That's what I was hoping you would say.
It's true.
Oh, my God.
I got my kid a blue bubblegum flavoured lolly from one of the really dodgy cash only ice cream vans in one of the lockdowns. And he lost his mind. There's definitely some E numbers that definitely do shit to kids, some kids. Behaviour for a minute or two, for sure.
Isn't it like something that's made out of like ground beetles?
Maybe. I love this theory.
Well, no, but this is what like we used to talk, like this was like an urban legend.
Right.
The kids used to talk about, like, did you know that like the blue, the E number is like ground up beetle shells or whatever? And I remember always thinking like, oh, that's such bullshit. But then I remember like reading just a couple of years ago, like, no, that's actually true.
Whoa.
Like, it is, because, you know, beetle shells,
I mean, there's
are, like,
all sorts of mad shit in our food. Like you were saying, we just trust people. But, like, I had no idea until, like, I was flirting with veganism all those years ago now. But, like, they use fish scales to make loads of wines.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, like, specifically vegan wines, isn't there?
Yeah.
They, like, pass it through, like, a... I don't know. Is it like a fish's gut?
I don't know. Something like that.
Why? Why do you do that?
Why are you doing that? Surely you can synthesize that process now.
Well, it's like Parmesan cheese as well, isn't it? It's the same thing. It's like, oh, we just really love putting it through a sheep's anus or whatever. I don't know what they do.
We just run it through.
It's tradition.
A dolphin's vagina.
If you don't like it, go somewhere else.
If you don't like it, don't have Italian food anymore. It's authentic, vintage.
You know, you're saying about how other countries, like, it's socially acceptable to give kids coffee.
Yeah.
It's so funny, because in my head I was like, oh, no, like, you shouldn't do that. But I'm perfectly fine with kids being given, like, wine in France. Like, I think that's cool.
Yeah. You know? It's confusing, isn't it?
It's like if you told me, like, oh, well, no, in Bulgaria, I mean, not they giving give kids cigarettes, I'd be like, oh,
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, cool Bulgarians.
That's true, by the way.
Is it? No, I believed you, Jen. Careful. I'm very gullible.
I had a Bulgarian friend when I was at school.
Yeah.
And I went to his house. And he had... And I don't... This isn't... I'm not saying all Bulgarians have
No,
it.
No, no. Hashtag not all Bulgarians.
Yeah, but he did.
Yeah.
In his living room, they had, like a fountain.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like an operational... Like garden.
Oh, like fountain. The indoor fountain.
Yeah.
I just thought that was cool. Nice. Mm-hmm. That's cool as fucking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's even cooler than teaching kids to smoke.
Yeah.
yeah, now my friend's bringing up her kids in Portugal, and they give their toddlers a bit of coffee at nursery. I was like, whoa, really? Whoa, whoa, that's not necessary. That is not, no, thank you.
What the nursery gives it to them? That's like, there must be like a really good nursery. They're like so good that they're kind of like, we just need to like up this for ourselves. Like we need to like make this harder for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like looking after toddlers and babies isn't hard enough.
It's like we need a handicap. Like let's.
How can we level this up?
Yeah,
it's so true. Yeah, it's pull ups with the weighted vest of the nursery of the nursery world.
Yeah,
fuck that. And I've only ever had to try and keep one at a time alive. I did. To answer your question, I do love coffee, but I think I always loved coffee. I've had a bunch of things that I didn't used to like that I do like now. Beetroot, loads of other vegetables that I'm sure I was fussy-ish about as a kid. I think I'm so far watching my son have a very similar palate to me in the sense that like he's nothing that he won't eat, and I think I was the same. But it's all with a view to getting to the good stuff. Like, he's a lot more sweet tooth than I am now. And I don't... Every now and again, like, I really want chocolate and I just have to have some chocolate. But actually not very sweet toothy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't relate to that because I really am. Like, I could just eat it.
Just sweet stuff.
Yeah. Like, I probably could.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel great, but I could do it.
Yeah. Why does our heart ask us for things that makes our body feel so shit?
I don't know. That's...
why do you... body scream at you to feed it things that are going to make it feel really sick and tired, like even if you take all the kind of emotional blah 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 out.
No, I actually do think about that a lot.
Me too.
It's like people always say like, oh, why is it the most delicious stuff that's like the most like fascinating, for example, like people say that, right? And that's true. It's like, I don't know, is it some kind of like entropy thing? Is it some kind of like yin and yang-ish kind of thing?
Well, I think that's like a survival thing, ultimately. Like, those foods are designed to set off like bits of your brain that are massive reward sensors. So our brains, of course, are going to be like, reward, reward, give me the reward. But also because our brains are still wired to a time where eating really energy-rich food is survival, ultimately. And they don't compute the fact that we actually have access to that stuff all the time now, because historically, if there was something as high in energy, especially like real big, quick, easy to process energy like ice cream, then your body would be like, quiz in, I'm going to be great for ages. And actually putting on weight again was like great for survival. Like, you're going to survive longer through the cold winter where you probably won't be able to get as much food because you tubbed up a bit.
Yeah, and like, evolution is slow, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's notoriously slow.
Yeah, it's notoriously slow. So I don't think we can be annoyed with our brains for wanting us to eat more of delicious stuff, because...
But you can be annoyed at the world for making more and more delicious things.
Oh, I don't know if I want to be annoyed at the world for that. I think... Oh, fuck me, it's so complicated. I think it does boil down to that, like, oh, if I feel physically gross, like, and I don't mean about my body, I mean in the moment, I mean, like, I feel, you can feel your body just talk to you if you've overdone the sugar or the salt or I find the older I get, I feel like I'm always changing, and I feel like if I have something too battered, I'm like, blah, 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 and I feel really queasy for a bit. And so actually I do find myself wanting those things, not never, but less. Like, you're in a mood for a thing and like trying to listen to whatever that mood is. And like you say, like with your, like, I know what I like. I think it's great in the sense that it's so hard with all the choice in the world to be like, no, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And there are different times where I found it easier to tune into what I really want and whether I'm really full, whether I'm really hungry than others. And there are times where, like, there's so much going on emotionally that I absolutely don't stand a fucking chance.
No, that makes sense.
I think, like, hormonal times or tired times, weirdly, sometimes can even help you out and, like, helping you focus on what it is you want or don't want.
Yeah.
It's so complicated.
It is, but it's true. Like, when I say, oh, I know what I like, I think what it comes down to is kind of, like, I still have this like regret that like I didn't try more things before I was a vegetarian, because I feel like now I'm a vegetarian, like I'm in that for good,
right?
And I'm not gonna stop doing that probably, but I just wish I tried a few more like freaky things when I was allowed to.
Oh, like crocodile or some shit.
Crocodile, like some kind of weird octopus head or something like that, you know. And what you were saying about always changing, like, I feel like that too. Like, every 5 years I kind of feel like a different person in a way. I guess that's just what growing up is.
Yes, totally. But,
and I'm sure, like, in 5 years my brain or my palate or whatever would have changed to the point where I'll maybe be like, oh, I'm kind of going off pizza a bit, maybe. I don't know if that, I don't know.
Might be time, true. I'm going to get a call going, tell me where you got that brown cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
Oy!
But so I want to keep eating it while I still enjoy it.
Yes, of course.
You know?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Long live the pizzas. I wish, I mean, let's just do this again and get pizzas next time.
No, I really enjoyed that. I really like, I actually kind of like these.
These
like,
are all right, aren't they? They're all right. I wish I was kind of more, I'm trying to listen to my board and it's gone, don't eat. I'm not in the mood for this right so now.
The thing with me and vegetarian food is like, because I've been a vegetarian for quite a while now, not that I was there in the early, early days, but I remember when there was way less choice.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when like this kind of thing wasn't even, like, I remember when I was first a vegetarian, it was like, oh, there's one option for you on the menu and it's like bean based.
Yeah.
Like if it's a burger, it's going to be a bean burger.
Yeah.
If it's anything else, it's going to be a lot of beans and carrot involved.
Yeah. Mushrooms. And,
mushrooms. But I love mushrooms, though.
I love mushrooms. But yeah. My girlfriend, Steph, hates too strong. But, like, it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, if something's got mushrooms in.
Yeah.
Because it's similar but different experience in the sense that, like, a lifetime of being vegetarian in the olden days until really recently, it was just fucking mushroom flavour everything, or just literally a mushroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember going to Gourmet Burger Kitchen 10 years ago. And, it was just, like, a mushroom in a bun.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Well, unless you love mushrooms, actually.
Well, I do, but you want, like, a bit of halloumi in there as well, maybe.
There's no protein in a mushroom.
No.
Yeah, it just looks water. The same. I know, it's why I don't. I've said it before in this podcast, and I'm sorry if I'm boring you if you're listening, but I've never really understood the jackfruit phenomena, just because it's got like a similar. It looks vaguely like a pulled pork. Like, it's a plant, that is a flower.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, I hadn't even heard of jackfruit before the last couple of years.
No.
I haven't fallen
I've had
for
a
that.
Tin of it through the pandemic that still didn't get touched.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's literally apocalypse proof.
I feel the same about cauliflower a little bit. Like, I like cauliflower, but I think people have gone a bit mad with, like, thinking that that's a viable substitute for, like, chicken and stuff.
I feel I'd say, well, not quite rage, but something, definitely a flirtation with anger whenever I hear the term wing.
What, for cauliflower?
Cauliflower, yeah. You don't. It's a floret.
It's stupid, floret. Isn't it?
Floret. It's a tree. It's a small white tree. It's not a wing. Don't call it a wing.
We have to do better than that, I think.
I think we have to do better than that. Like you say, like, I wouldn't mind if they reformed the whole chicken and you got to go over and, like, pretend that you had to, like, debone and butcher the soy chicken. Then you can start calling it wing.
Yeah.
Or, like, yeah, any other bit of a leg, whatever.
I think that might actually help encourage more people to become vegetarian. I think...
the horror of doing it. I think if everybody had to do a butchery course and you couldn't buy like processed versions of stuff,
oh yeah,
loads more people would be vegetarian.
Yeah, we should do that, shouldn't we? Yeah. When I was a support worker, I used to work with this lovely woman called Dharma. She was Hungarian, and she didn't.
Did she have a fountain or not?
She didn't. Unfortunately, I did go to her house. She didn't. Unfortunately, I think it's only Bulgarians that have that. But but she was lovely, and she didn't understand what vegetarianism was.
Yeah,
and she thought she did, but she just didn't. It was one of those things where I remember she was once making like the roast for us, for everyone in the supported living house, and she was like, "Here, I made you a vegetarian one." I was like, "Great." She was like ladling on all this gravy. I was like, great. I was like, this is vegetarian. She was like, yeah, vegetarian. I ate the whole thing. I was like, Dharma, this is like the best roast I've ever had in my life. The gravy was so nice. Well, how did you make it? She was like, oh, I just poured all the blood in there. Just all the blood goes in. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, fair enough. Shit.
But I should have known, because like she told me that like her parents had her like killing chickens with her hands at like the age of like 4 or something. So it's just, but that's what I mean.
She's gonna be fine in the apocalypse with those skills.
Yeah.
And I think if you are like, there's an amazing, I talked to her on this podcast a million moons ago, but there's a woman called Louise Gray with a book called The Ethical Carnivore, where she was like she took it to the extreme, like the theory that if you should only eat it if you'd kill it. And it's like, only ate things that she had killed and like learnt to hunt things that were sustainable to hunt, etc. And I thought that was fascinating.
Mm.
And talk to people that live like that, in the sense that there were a bunch of people who only ate roadkill. I mean, shit like that, I'm like, I get it.
I get that.
Yeah.
I think there's an ethical question with the other way, though, in the sense of, like, I think the main ethical question that a lot of vegans have is, like, it's not, like, about eating things that you can kill.
Yeah.
It's just, like, do you need to kill it? Like, no, that's, I mean, the option, isn't it? It's, like...
It's not about anything you could kill. We could kill the cats, but I don't want to eat them.
But what I mean is, like, we're not in a society where we feel like we have to, like, go out and, like, hunt.
Oh, no.
You know, because everything is so accessible.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't get me wrong, like, if I lived in a wasteland and I had no food, I would kill.
Yeah. Same.
I would do it.
Yeah. If you, if there was no other option, would you eat a person?
Probably not.
Really?
Yeah, probably not. Doesn't really appeal to me.
Is there ever a food that you've ever been, like, scared of, or a phobia? Or have you ever known anyone to have a fear of a specific food?
No, I never have. I've seen them on television. Yeah. I've seen people that are, like, scared of, like, buttons and, like,
yeah.
oranges. I remember one on television. Yeah, they put this woman in a...
sister's scared of oranges.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, they put this woman in, like, a tank full of oranges to cure her of her phobia, and it didn't seem like it worked.
No, just watching a lady develop an incredible trauma.
Yeah. I'm not scared of any food, only in the sense of, like, I don't like it. But, yeah, not an actual phobia. Are you scared of any foods?
No, I'm not. No. I think it would be a terrible podcast for me to run if I was.
Yeah. Also, it's like there are worse things in the world to be scared of. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
There's so much. I'm scared of so much. I can't put food into
Well, also, it's an objectively terrifying world in many ways. So it's such a waste, isn't it, to have used up all of that kind of cortisol on an orange.
Yeah. But at least it is a real phobia, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking it. You don't choose that shit.
No. Yeah.
Has anyone's behaviour when it comes to eating ever affected what you thought of them as a person? And I think what I mean by this is, like, people have, like, this really passionate feelings about how their parents eat.
Mm.
And those feelings seem to not go away even until, like, adulthood. I hardly know anyone who, like, doesn't mind the way their dad eats. and, like, my kid recently was like, whoa, God, like, slow down.
So I was
really hungry, and I was like throwing like handfuls of nuts into my mouth.
Well,
I was like hungry in that like desperate, passionate way, and I was eating as if I was alone because he feels like an extension of me.
That's
and it was
nice,
so
though.
Funny to have a tiny child be like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And me be like, yeah, fair enough. No one was meant to see that.
That's so lovely, though, that you feel comfortable in that way to just eat naturally. Like, so for me, it's like, I know that I eat differently, like, now, for example, than when I'm on my own. I know that when I eat on my own, it's, like, uninhibited.
Yeah,
like,
great.
I had it recently because like, I share a flat with two other people. And so because of that, our lounge is, like, not really suitable for living in at the moment. So I eat a lot of my meals just in front of my computer, basically. Yeah. And every now and then I'll be eating and the screen will go into, like, sleep mode. So it'll, like, go off.
And see your
I'll
reflection.
See it. Like, and that's the only time I've, like, really properly seen myself mid-chew. And, like, I have to say, like, I was horrified.
It's
I was
horrible.
Absolutely horrified.
It's not meant to be self-witnessed.
You're not supposed to see it. Yeah, it's like a thing. But, like,
it's so funny, why is that so funny? I love it.
But I'm like, in terms of, like, how I feel about other eaters, it's like the only thing that I've really noticed is that, like, everyone I know in my whole life eats a lot faster than I do.
Right.
I'm a very slow eater.
Great.
And I don't know why. I just eat. It's not even that I do waffle a lot generally, but it's not even that. It's just, I don't know. I just, because to me, it's not even necessarily about the taste of the food. So I'm not like savouring it. I'm just like,
so funny.
I'm just going very slowly.
Take your sweet fucking time.
Yeah, but I don't know why. I don't know why I've developed that way.
I think that's also, again, not something you necessarily choose. And it would, the idea of you speeding up to please others would make me so sad.
Yeah. Well, when I was at secondary school, like, we had very short lunch breaks.
Yeah.
It was like half an hour.
Yeah.
Which seems like no time at all, particularly to like line up and enjoy your food. I remember like rushing a lot then.
Yeah, that's crap. And it's one of the many bits of like growing up that feels so amazing when you're like, no, I'll do this in my own time.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you got any particular hopes when it comes to like eating in the future? I guess maybe you've already said like, You've already had some great ideas of how to turn more people vegetarian. But perhaps in terms of, like, I suppose the environment or even technology or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I always hope for, like, better substitute stuff. Like, if we can get, like, some decent vegan cheeses and, like, chocolate, then I would be happy to, like, do that. But at the moment, as it stands, it doesn't matter how many books I read or how bad people try to make me feel like I can't do it.
Can't go full vegs.
I guess my only hope for the future, my culinary future, is just that, like, I'll like asparagus. Because that's something that, like, I've never liked. And I've tried so many times. It's not like onions. It's like with onions, like, I've kind of...
I mean, it's quite literally a strong flavour. Like, I fully understand.
Yeah, but some people say the opposite. Oh, no, onion, yeah. That's what I was saying. But with asparagus, like, people always say, but it doesn't taste like anything.
Oh, it does. I think it's got a really earthy, grassy taste.
But that's not even a good, like, reason to try and convince me to eat it, is it?
No.
Like, it doesn't taste like anything. You don't have to eat it. And these people are hypocrites as well, because most people don't like broccoli. And I fucking love broccoli. Like, I will eat, like, a whole bucket of it.
I love broccoli.
Yeah, I love it too.
That was one of my... You're going to the Fringe. I'm going to the Fringe. There was a Fringe where, like, the thing I desperately wanted when I got in at, like, late in the night, it was when I was child-free and young and staying out late in the night. And the thing I want... The Fringe before had been a samosa. Mm-hmm. And that Fringe, I ate almost a whole tray of broccoli dipped in Sabra hummus.
Wow, that's not... What, raw?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I haven't really craved it since. I think sort of a need, some kind of internal chemical need was being met.
I love eating raw vegetables. It makes me feel like I'm at one with the nature or whatever. Even though I bought it in a supermarket. But like I eat raw mushrooms.
I like raw mushrooms.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting texture that you never get in any other mouthful.
No, because when you cook a mushroom, it becomes really soggy, which I also like. But... yeah, like people have told me not to eat raw mushrooms. They say, it's dangerous, apparently.
Fuck them.
It's not, though, is it?
Yeah, we're fine.
They're thinking of something else.
I think they're thinking of pork.
No, they're thinking of like wild mushrooms, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think you should probably, or maybe. Yeah, I don't forage mushrooms unless you really know what you're doing.
No, you'll die, won't you?
Oh, God,
you?
I've made you talk to me for ages.
I don't mind. I'm not doing anything.
I've got no plans. 5-second rule, yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, great.
I would even say to extend it.
Me too.
I mean, it's like, it doesn't make sense anyway, does it?
No.
Like, it only takes like a millisecond for germs to get on something.
Once it's hit the deck, it's hit the deck. It's all about how much you care about the old immune system. But
I'd say don't go away and then come back the next day, and if it's still there, eat it. But if I'd say a day is fine.
I think also if you live with pets, your rules change on that. Just before we began this hoovering, my cat sat on this table, didn't he? And he's really molting at the moment. But we anti-back the table. But it is like, I suddenly panic in that moment as a host, thinking, fuck me. I mean, it's objectively disgusting that. Like, anyway, we've banished him and you heard him thugging at the door.
Well, only if you're worried about that. What's that, like, disease that people talk about that's transmitted through cat saliva?
Can't remember, but I do know what you're on about.
Something osmosis or something. Yeah, I used to do that at loads as well.
There's also an argument that apparently way more so during childhood, but you can still do it a bit as an adult, apparently. But if you're getting off with cats and getting bits of cat stuff on you and in you, it's really good for your gut microbiome.
Oh, okay.
Which is really good for your everything, because it's how you process everything. So, who knows? is there any one food item or any food items that you believe demands to be eaten in a particularly ritualistic way?
There is. I'm trying to think what it is. There are things that I definitely eat in that way. Like, I have rituals in how I eat them. I used to know somebody who used to eat a burger in a very, very ritualistic way. Like, they used to, like... And this wasn't when I was working in supported living. They used to, like, take it apart piece by piece.
Yeah.
Line them all up. Wow. And then just eat each bit individually.
Okay.
Which is fascinating, but yeah, it's kind of like someone went to the effort to construct that thing for a reason.
Exactly what I was thinking. It's like, you do you, but it's not what the chef intended, is it?
I think I have that with pizza, being like the primary thing that I eat, but...
Talk me through your pizza process.
Well, it changes depending on the pizza.
Oh, let's go for, well, just lamb margarita.
Well, I didn't mean, like, margarita is like my pizza that I eat.
Yes.
Because I have a thing about margarita, which is that, like, if you can't... Like, to me, like, people get really stuck up about toppings. They're like, oh, like, margarita's boring. But to me, margarita is pizza. Like, yes, that's it. It's, like, base level. So if you can't get that right, then I don't want to even try anything else. What I meant is like, there's a way that I eat, like, a deep pan, and there's a way that I eat, like, a thin one. The deep pan, I will bite all of the top off of it.
Great.
Because, you know, like, sometimes it's nice to, like, leave the crust till the end, but this is, like, you get even more because you've bitten all of the top off.
Yeah.
Like a hamster. Yeah. And then you've got, like, all this bread at the end that you either will want or won't want. I'll eat it.
I will.
And then, like, the thin one, I just eat it, like a normal person.
Do you like anything to... Do you eat your crusts as part of the triangle? Or do you sort of leave your crusts and then have them either nude or maybe dipped in mayonnaise or a chili oil?
Yeah, so I will leave them all till the end and then I will just eat them at the end. But
nude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I like them.
Yes, like, I think they are.
I do. Yeah. I'm not opposed to
it. I like them, but I would say I mainly like them as a sponge or magic carpet to carry other flavours.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, that makes sense. Like, I went to this place called Pizza Union. Have you been there before?
I've heard of it, but I don't think I've been. But have I been? Is there one by the Soho Theatre? I think there might be.
No, there's a
that's
place called
Pilgrim.
Pizza Pilgrims, yeah.
No, I've not been.
It's like a weird, like, it's really cheap. It's like too cheap, you know?
Okay.
But when you go in, they like give you like dipping sauces because they assume that you're going to do that, I think.
Right.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Like,
What's the best pizza you had recently?
Well, funnily enough, like that same strip, like next to Soho Theatre, there's a place called Japes.
Ooh.
And they do Chicago style deep. And you know where they put like the tomato on top and the cheese underneath?
Yeah.
And it's like so cheesy. It's
I've never had that.
It's like people, like, I went to Pizza Express and I by accident tried their vegan pizza.
Yeah.
With vegan cheese. And it was nice. It was fine. Like, it was one of the better vegan cheeses that I've had.
Yeah.
But it's like, for all of that, like, you're never gonna get close. Not in the next 50 years.
No.
To like this Chicago style,
yeah, you that's just true.
You're not even gonna get close
you're
to
not
it.
Gonna get close, so yeah,
check
yourself.
So I just feel like I just like constantly talked about pizza.
I really enjoyed the pizza,
but
chat.
It's like
I had
it
a great
makes me feel
taste
so
Rudy's pizza
basic. Rudy's
no, it's
pizza.
Not basic.
It is basic. It's like
I think pizza is actually very complicated.
Food.
Shut up.
Well, that's
I'm into it.
I like it. What's Rudy's? Tell me about Rudy's.
Rudy's is a pizza place. I think it started in Manchester, and now there's one in London. And it's just incredible. Everything, every element was so delicious. Mm. And they do like, I feel like there's a very trendy thing now to like have a lot of options of white bases. So you don't do tomato, you've got like some kind of bechamel instead. And I've been very averse to that, but my missus went for that and I tried it and was like, I should have opened my mind. I'm having a nice time.
Yeah, it's okay to
it was
to
very
try
garlicky.
Things, was it?
I liked that day.
I'm not ready for that yet.
Okay, understand.
I'm
I
definitely
understand.
Not there, but I'm open to it in the future, definitely.
I love to hear it.
Say scrum diddly umptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum diddly umptious.
Plastic gets so furious that it's going out of fashion and becoming obsolete that it learns to disguise itself as fruit and vegetables. It's carnage. Everyone starts dying of either smashed teeth and tummies or of scurvy from all their all-out plastic avoidance. It's awful. Plastic has agreed to back the fuck down and undo this apocalypse, but only if you, it does have to be you, agree to make the sound of a clock ticking with your tongue like...
for 13 hours, so you can't have any snacks, all whilst constantly stepping on and off a tiny pile of gnomes. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. You're the woman who saved us all from a terrible plasticky apocalypse, and your award is the adulation of all people for all time. You go down in history as an absolute god, but your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind you're fucking starving, so that's 13 hours of click clocking, is the feast of your dreams.
Okay.
It's the opposite of a last meal, because you couldn't be happier and you couldn't be hungrier.
Right, okay.
This doesn't have to be snazzy. This doesn't have to be snazzy. Don't overthink it. The other caveat is to say that I'm aware that this is your answer now, and if I were to ask you this, even in 5-10 minutes, you could give a totally different answer.
Okay.
But in a consequence-free fantasy environment, if you were the happiest and hungriest you can imagine being, what would you eat? What would you drink? And if you had like a who, with, and where, which also don't need to be realistic or possible, you may have a who, with, and where, you would have this.
Oh my God, that's exciting. Well, what I would eat is I would eat Morley's fried chicken.
Nice.
I live in South London.
Of course,
so
I know Morley's.
Because I, again...
The original, it's really.
It's another thing that I really, really miss is fried chicken. It's like, there is no good substitute for it. No. I've been to like Temple of Satan and all that kind of stuff. And it's nice, but it's just not... It's not the same. So I'd have that. I'd have like a big bucket of it. And I don't mean like a paper bucket. I mean like a real bucket.
Yeah,
like
natural plastic.
Yeah, just
bucket.
Fill it up.
Yeah, like the one you'd have a mop in, but without the mop there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like because I've got like a lot of like sensory and like emotional memories associated with like KFC and stuff.
Mm, it's true.
To me, it was like a big part of like, oh, we're going to go to Blockbusters and then we're going to get a KFC.
I also think food-wise, KFC is genuinely... I haven't had loads of that in my life. It wasn't like... They were quite few and far between when I was growing up. But it has genuinely undone a few hangovers.
Yeah.
No. In my student days and actually beyond, there have been a few hangovers where it's like, oh, it's fucking gone.
Cold fried chicken is really good.
So good.
Because fried chicken is supposed to be crispy, but cold fried chicken is the opposite. It's like really soggy, but it works.
The flavours are still there. It's amazing. I hear you.
Okay. It works so well.
So we're starting with a bucket of fried chicken. Okay, delish.
Oh, I get more
choices. Oh, you can do what you like. It's a fantasy.
Well, I mean, oh, okay.
Unless you're done.
No. If there's more, then it'll be fried chicken, obviously, but it won't be Morley's like chips.
No.
It would be like a Iceland. I know this isn't thinking very big, but I really like their hash browns specifically in Iceland. They're like really thin, but they're like really crispy and nice. So I'd have like, I don't know, 50 of those.
I want those. I want those.
They're really, again, they're really salty.
I'm gonna
get
some.
And then some, I guess some Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Any particular flavour?
Yeah, like fish food, I'd say.
Okay, great, classic. Yeah. Anyone with you for this?
David Hockney.
Thank you.
There you
Very
go.
Very nice.
I was trying
Very
to think,
nice.
Like, who would I... I'm just going off instinct. Who would I actually want to, like, have a chat with?
You just got to go, go with whoever pops into your head.
Yeah.
And is there a scenario for your chicken with Hockney?
Well, like, where would we be having it? Berlin.
Got it.
Berlin. In a sports bar.
Yes.
Smoking. I don't smoke, but...
You would.
I would for Hockney.
There's no
smoke for Hockney.
And there's no consequences, so...
Oh, yeah, there's no consequences.
Cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd feel fine.
Yeah, lots of cigarettes. Have you been to Berlin?
Yeah, and I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. So good.
Thank you so much for doing this silly podcast.
That's okay. Oh, I didn't say what drink I would have.
Oh, what drink would you have?
A Coke float.
Okay. Oh, yes!
Yeah.
That's such a great drink. I'm so sorry for not getting the drink in there.
Have you had a Coke float before?
Once. As a child. Had a great time.
Yeah, you don't really see them much.
No. They do them, don't they, in like diners and stuff, but they're normally boozed up. They're like trendy, Shoreditchy.
Yeah.
I want to do that again.
I love a diner.
Me too.
Like, I really love like a tacky, kitschy 50s diner.
Do you want to go for breakfast or lunch one day in... what's the there's a diner right by the Monkey Barrel in Edinburgh, the City Cafe. It's really good.
I've never been there, but yes, I'd love
it's
to.
Really good breakfast.
I'd love to.
That's
You're going to be in Edinburgh,
veggie breakfast,
aren't you, this year? Yeah. I'd love to. Let's do that. Yeah, I went to a really good pizza place in Edinburgh last year. It was I did like the mini fringe, I don't know what it's called, but it's like at the top somewhere, and it's like famous though. People like line up Great.
Oh, well, look, tell me after. Or take me there in August.
Yeah. Well, they sell, like, slices. You buy, like, a slice. It's, like, massive.
Let's go for pizza and let's go for breakfast.
Yeah, and let's go to Frankenstein's bar as well.
Yeah. And maybe they'll give us a Coke float.
Yeah.
I'm in my tum.
I wouldn't wish that fucking cheese on my worst enemy. I can't remember the last time I tasted anything quite so repulsive. Oof, poor Jen. Gosh, you got a rough deal there. None of that went to plan. Thank fuck the spuds and salad were all right. Crumbs alive. Shameful lunch effort on my part, but there you go. And I would say that actually you, my listeners, and especially a few of my patrons, are actually the ones who are to blame, I reckon. So there. Follow Jen on social media. She is at I'm Jen Ives, I-V-E-S on Insta. And she is Jen Ives Comedian on Twitter. She has a patron and she also has a brand new Edinburgh show called Peak Trans on the Gilded Balloon Paterhouse every evening throughout the Fringe. Apart from, I think, same as me, the 15th. Yes, pleased to see you in that. I'll absolutely see you there. Follow the podcast on social media at The Hoovering Pod. Follow me, please. Why not? JessicaFosterkey.com is my website. That is where you can get tickets to see me on tour. Come and see Wench. Come and see Wench at Edinburgh if that's where you are. Or I'm bringing it all over the bloody shop. Please come. I've just added a new date for Dorchester in Dorset where I grew up. Well, actually, I didn't grow up exactly in Dorchester. I grew up half an hour away in Swanage. But I did do my driving test in Dorchester. So that's exciting. And it wasn't nice when I grew up, and it is now. Dorchester's got very snazzy, isn't it? It's got a fucking Carluccio's now, which I will probably be going to. It's before the show. Why am I telling you that? See you in Carluccio's for dinner before the tour show, before you come and see the tour show there. Okay. Be my patron if you've got spare money. Exciting news coming soon for my patrons. Links to everything interesting that Jen and I mentioned throughout that podcast are, as ever, in the podcast notes, including links to where to get tickets to see me live. Anything longer than a tweet, you can also email me through my website, jessicafosterkey.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.